Welcome back to this Divine Office podcast. We're going to try for a combined office of readings and morning prayer today, and we shall see how it goes. Today is just an ordinary green day, an ordinary time. Lord, open my lips and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Come, let us worship the Lord, for he is our God. The Lord's is the earth in its fullness, the world and all its peoples. It is he who set it on the seas. On the waters he made it firm. Come, let us worship the Lord, for he is our God. Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless things, who has not sworn so as to deceive his neighbor. Come, let us worship the Lord, for he is our God. He shall receive blessings from the Lord and reward from the God who saves him. Such are the men who seek him, seek the face of the God of Jacob. Come, let us worship the Lord, for he is our God. O gates, lift high your heads, grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory. Come, let us worship the Lord, for he is our God. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, the mighty, the valiant, the Lord, the valiant in war. Come, let us worship the Lord, for he is our God. O gates, lift high your heads, grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory. Come, let us worship the Lord, for he is our God. Who is he, the King of glory? He, the Lord of armies, he is the King of glory. Come, let us worship the Lord, for he is our God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship the Lord, for he is our God. So again, there's always going to be a hymn. Let's try to get the hymn from morning prayer. Behold the fiery sun arise, its troubles, shames, and brings remorse. For no one can persist in sin when light bears witness to our guilt. Let blindness disappear at last, that long has plunged us deep in sin, so that drawn our fallen souls by errant steps through wandering paths, then let this light bring cloudless day and make us pure before his gaze. Let nothing sly be on our tongues and nothing dark be in our thought. Let all the day so run its course that no unguarded tongue may lie, no fugitive eye or hand deceive, lest sin defile our mortal flesh. The one who sees stands by on high and watches us through all our days, discerning every act and deed from early dawn to evening tide. To God the Father glory be, all honor to his only Son, one with the Spirit Paraclete from age to age forevermore. Amen. Look on us, Lord, and see how we are despised. Psalm 89. Lament for the fall of David's dynasty. God has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David, Luke 1:20, 1:69. And yet you have rejected and spurned and are angry with the one you have anointed. You have broken your covenant with your servant and dishonored his crown in the dust. You have broken down all his walls and reduced his fortresses to ruins. He is despoiled by all who pass by. He has become the taunt of his neighbors. Look on us, Lord, and see how we are despised. You have exalted the right hand of his foes. You have made all his enemies rejoice. You have made his sword give way. You have not upheld him in battle. Look on us, Lord, and see how we are despised. You have brought his glory to an end. You have hurled his throne to the ground. You have cut short the years of his youth. You have heaped disgrace upon him. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Look on us, Lord, and see how we are despised. I am the root and stock of David. I am the morning star. Is Antiphon 2, and then we begin the next part. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your anger burn like a fire? Remember, Lord, the shortness of my life and how frail you have made the sons of men. What man can live and never see death? Who can save himself from the grasp of the grave? Where are your mercies of the past, O Lord, which you have sworn in your faithfulness to David? I am the root and stock of David. I am the morning star. Therefore, remember, Lord, how your servant is taunted, how I have to bear all the insults of the peoples. Thus your enemies taunt me, O Lord, mocking your anointed at every step. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord God, we are your church, taking the place of the Son Israel that would become your bride. You have made a lasting pact with us and sealed it in the blood of your only begotten and eternal Son. Forgive our sinfulness and disloyalty. Make us once again present a credible witness to the world around us so that we may be glorified before them. And again, intervene with your supernatural power so that with your miracles, that you may solve the great miracles of our times and heal the world. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In honor of Mary's gifts from God the Son, in his tender compassion, grant us this redemption. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity is what's known as the flame of love insert. So I'm part of a regular prayer group. I'm deep into that. So that's why it's become habit for me to say it that way. But you don't have to if you don't wish to. You can look that up on the website and find out a description of why that devotion involves an insert. I am the root and stock of David. I am the morning star, says the Lord Jesus Christ, is Antiphon 2. I added, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Our years wither away like grass, but you, Lord God, are eternal. Psalm 90, may we live in the radiance of God. There is no time with God. 1,000 years, a single day. It is all one. 2 Peter 3:8. O Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to the next. Before the mountains were born, or the earth or the world brought forth, you are God without beginning or end. You turn men back into dust and say, go back, sons of men. To your eyes, 1,000 years are like yesterday, come and gone, no more than a watch in the night. You sweep men away like a dream, like grass which springs up in the morning. In the morning it springs up in flowers. By evening it withers and fades. So we are destroyed in your anger, struck with terror in your fury. Our guilt lies open before you, our secrets in the light of your face. All our days pass away in your anger. Our life is over like a sigh. Our span is 70 years or 80 for those who are strong, and most of these are emptiness and pain. They pass swiftly and we are gone. Who understands the power of your anger and fears the strength of your fury? Make us know the shortness of our life, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Lord, relent, is your anger forever? Show pity to your servants. In the morning, fill us with your love. We shall exalt and rejoice all our days. Give us joy to balance our affliction for the years when we knew misfortune. Show forth your work to your servants. Let your glory shine on their children. Let the favor of the Lord be upon us. Give success to the work of our hands. Give success to the work of our hands. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Eternal Father, you give us life despite our guilt and even add days and years to our lives in order to bring us true wisdom. Make us able to love you, make us obey you, so that the works of our hands may always display what your hands have done. In honor of Mary's gifts from Christ her Savior, the Father in heaven, her Father and ours, in Christ, Grant us those things that we most need for today and that we most want to intercede for others for, that they need for today. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effect of grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our years wither away like grass, but you, Lord God, are eternal. We begin the lesson with the verse where we switch from speaking to God in the inspired scriptures to listening to God with attention. That's what I mean by we're switching. In you is the source of life, and in your light we see light itself. A reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 24, verses 1 through 27. Abraham sends a servant to find a wife for Isaac. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his house, who had charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but will go to my country and my kindred, and take a wife for my son Isaac." The servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman may not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I then take your son back to the land from which you came?" Abraham said to him, "See to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, and who spoke to me and swore to me, 'To your descendants I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. If the woman is not willing to follow you, then you shall be free from this oath of mine. Only you must not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master, and he rose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the time of evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, grant me success today, I pray thee, and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the maiden to whom I say, 'Pray, let down your jar that I may drink,' and who shall say, 'Drink, and I will water your camels,' let her be the one whom thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. By this I shall know that thou hast shown steadfast love to my master." Before he had done speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Micah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her water jar upon her shoulder. The maiden was very fair to look upon, a virgin whom no man had known. She went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, "Pray, give me a little water to drink from your jar." She said, "Drink, my lord," and she quickly let down her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw for your camels also, until they have done drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw. And she drew for all his camels. The men gazed at her in silence to learn whether the Lord had prospered his journey or not. When the camels had done drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half a shekel and 2 bracelets from her arms weighing 10 shekels, and he said, "Tell me whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to lodge in?" She said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, son of Machir, whom she bore to Nahor." She added, "We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in." The man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord and said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness toward my master. As for me, the Lord has led me in the way to the house of my master's kinsmen. So we have a reading from the letter of the Church of Rome to the church at Corinth. And yes, there are some excellent second readings in the breviary that you can also look at. I'm trying to do a semi-continuous reading through one Clement, the work of the Church Father Clement, which is something the general instruction on the Liturgy of the Hours permits us to do from time to time, especially during ordinary time. So this is one Clement. This is Clement of Rome, traditionally considered a pope, speaking. We see then how all righteous men have been adorned with good works, and how the Lord himself, adorning himself with his works, rejoiced. Having therefore such an example, let us without delay accede to his will, and let us work the work of righteousness with our whole strength. The good servant receives the bread of his labor with confidence. The lazy and slothful cannot look his employer in the face. It is requisite, therefore, that we be prompt in the practice of well-doing. For of him are all things. And thus he forewarns us. Behold, the Lord comes, and his reward is before his face, to render to every man according to his work. He exhorts us, therefore, with our whole heart to attend to this, that we be not lazy or slothful in any good work. Let our boasting and our confidence be in him. Let us submit ourselves to his will. Let us consider the whole multitude of his angels, how they stand ever ready to minister to his will. For the scripture says, 10,000 times 10,000 stood around him, and thousands of thousands ministered unto him, and cried, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of Sabbath. The whole creation is full of his glory. And therefore, let us conscientiously gathering together in harmony, cry to him earnestly, as with one mouth, that we may be made partakers of his great and glorious promises. For the scripture says, Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which he has prepared for those that wait for him. How blessed and wonderful, beloved, are the gifts of God, life in immortality, splendor in righteousness, truth in perfect confidence, faith in assurance, self-control in holiness. And then we're moving on to a different part in the letter. This is the way, beloved, in which we find our Savior, even Jesus Christ, the high priest of all our offerings, the defender and helper of our infirmity. By him we look up to the heights of heaven. By him we behold, as in a glass, his immaculate and most excellent visage. By him are the eyes of our hearts opened. By him our foolish and darkened understanding blossoms up anew toward his marvelous light. By him the Lord has willed that we should taste of immortal knowledge, who being the brightness of his majesty is so much greater than the angels. As he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For it is written thus, Who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a fiery flame? But concerning his son, the Lord spoke thus, You are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the world for your possession. And again he says to him, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. But who are his enemies? All the wicked, and those who set themselves to oppose the will of God. So I forgot the responsory for the biblical reading, which was, If you will seek me, and when you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. I will let myself be found by you, says the Lord. I will restore your fortunes. Seek and you will find. Knock on the door and it will be opened to you. I will let myself be found by you, says the Lord. I will restore your fortunes. And then we'll have a responsory, since this is the office of readings too. For the Clement reading from tradition, Send forth wisdom, O Lord, from your throne of glory to be with me in my daily toil, that I may know what is pleasing to you. Lord, give me the wisdom that sits beside your throne, that I may know what is pleasing to you. So we're going to have our final prayer now. Since I realized I'm out of time, I might come back and make another video for morning prayer later on, but probably not. So let's have our concluding prayer, our final prayer now. Almighty ever-living God, direct our actions according to your good pleasure, that in the name of your beloved Son we may abound in good works. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Let us praise the Lord and give him thanks. So, you know, I think we as a church often struggle. We feel like we're buried under the weight of our own mistakes and insufficiencies, and that's why it's so difficult to get people to convert to the church or convert to the Catholic way of life. So I know no better thing to do during this time than to take you through some of the excellent teaching that the church's best teachers, scrupulously to attentiveness, put together on the Our Father. So we're going to go through that. I think we need these teachings on prayer now during this year of hope, now during this year when so many things are high risk, that we need to know how to pray and reflect on our prayer more than ever. So that's what I'm going to do for our shorthanding on the faith. I'm going to let the church teach us about prayer through the catechism. So in paragraph 2761, 2761, we start a article in the catechism called The Summary of the Whole Gospel. And that's a patristic title, I believe, for the Our Father prayer. So it begins, "The Lord's Prayer is truly the summary of the whole gospel, since the Lord, after handing over the practice of prayer, said elsewhere, 'Ask and you will receive.' And since everyone has petitions which are particular to his circumstances, the regular and appropriate prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is said first as the foundation of further desires, at the center of the scriptures. After showing how the Psalms are the principal food of Christian prayer and flow together in the petitions of the Our Father, St. Augustine concludes, 'Run through all the words of the holy prayers in Scripture, and I do not think that you will find anything in them that is not contained and included in the Lord's Prayer. All the Scriptures, the Law, the Prophets, the Psalms, are fulfilled in Christ. The Gospel is this good news. Its first proclamation is summarized by St. Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. The prayer to our Father is at the center of this proclamation. It is in this context that each petition bequeathed to us by the Lord is illuminated. The Lord's Prayer is the most perfect of prayers. In it we ask not only for all the things we can rightly desire, but also in the sequence that they should be regarded or desired. This prayer not only teaches us to ask for things, but also in what order we should desire them. The Sermon on the Mount is teaching for life. The Our Father is a prayer. But in both the one and the other, the Spirit of the Lord gives us new form to our desires, those inner movements that animate our lives. Jesus teaches us this new life by his words. He teaches us to ask for it by prayer. The rightness of our life in him will depend on the rightness of our prayer." One more. "Jesus was praying at a certain place, and when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.' In response to this request, the Lord entrusts to his disciples and to the church, his church, the fundamental Christian prayer. St. Luke presents a brief text of five petitions, while St. Matthew gives a more developed version of seven petitions. The liturgical tradition of the church has retained St. Matthew's text." So again, we're just going through this, and I know some Protestants may say, "Well, that's great that you're praying a scriptural prayer, but why don't you talk to God in your own words?" Well, again, it's really covered in our tradition already. In fact, we already had Augustine teach us, because it says, after Augustine explains how the Psalms are the principal food of Christian prayer. So food, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that we just recite things and we expect the Psalms to have a magical effect, as if that substitutes for us having a real relationship with God. Like I said, Thomas says that we relate, even through the sacraments, we relate to God as a rational creature relating and contemplating God, which, you know, it's medieval language, but it means that we have to have a relationship with God. So why are they food rather than just a prayer? because they teach us how to pray, basically. And we went over that in our other video, where I took you through some of my favorite psalms that I have used for food for my prayer, and how I pray through them and make them my own. And it's not rote. It's not just repeating the psalms and finding even a catchy way of applying them, but it really does generate a new prayer for you. It teaches you to pray. So let's conclude with the Our Father itself, with its seven petitions. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. So you see how good the church is. It's a hard book to get through. It requires a lot of patience, but the catechism gives us like such a well-grounded understanding of so many things that we need to know about our faith. And it's not all explicit, which is why sometimes you need a catechist, or you need an assistant book, or the Bible to kind of unpack some of it, but it's okay. Hope you have a great rest of your day.